The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You are listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. We are here once again, and man, today we have another amazing show for y'all lineup. Today we have an amazing guest, Susan Gold. She is an author, a transformer, and a coach. We're going to learn all about her amazing book that you can get on Amazon. It's Toxic Family, Transforming Childhood Trauma into Adult Freedom. And we're going to learn everything about her. She has an amazing website you can check out. It is susangold.us. But before we do all that, I want to welcome Susan and say how you doing.
Hey, I'm so well. I'm so happy to be here. And thanks for having me. And I've been listening to some of your episodes to warm up. And I just really like the conversations you're bringing forward and the people from all different walks and, yeah, bringing us together as a community. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate your time and thank you for being on, because everyone has a story. That's my focus. So with that being said, kind of give the audience a little bit of background of your life and what inspired you to write this book.
Well, thank you for asking. First, the book is kind of a taboo topic because it's called Toxic Family. That was not my title. It's my publisher's title. But I did grow up in a really chaotic and troubled family. And I didn't know the full extent of it until I was in my 20s. But I knew I was in danger. My dad is a genius astrophysicist, but he had a little drinking problem, a little problem womanizing, and is a bit of a narcissist. And my mom was equally as genius, but she was raising 5 kids before she was even 30 years old and frustrated. So she would soothe through food. She was a compulsive overeater, and they treated that back then through diet pills, which was speed. And I think she also had a touch of mental illness. So it was not a fun family system. And I left the morning after I graduated from high school, and I didn't often go back. I just always had it in me that I wanted out. I used to watch Barbara Walters on my beanbag chair in my basement. And I was like, I'm going to go to New York City and be just like that woman. And I did get to New York City. I was working for a large global talent agency called ICM. But I wasn't making enough money, so I started personal training, and Barbara Walters became my client.
Man, that's awesome. So when you decided to make that jump, I mean, was it an easy jump, or were there some kind of friction that you had to get through at first?
I was terrified. Like, my whole upbringing, I was plotting and planning how I was going to make my escape, how I was going to get out, and it was getting closer, and I thought I was going to be joyful, but I was terrified, like terrified. And I went to the Jersey Shore for a summer before college, and my sister softened the blow. She was there with a couple of roommates from college, so that eased it. And then in college, I was able to negotiate my way out for a winter term and then a summer break to New York City. So I was 19, living in Greenwich Village, and that sort of also softened the entry into that city because it's a huge city. And I was really green around the gills. I didn't even know what a cappuccino was back then, but I had a way. I had a vision. I had a purpose. But red flags started to come up. The same kind of behaviors, Shamaya, that I saw in my family demonstrated, like fights and abusive behavior and just a lot of drinking and insanity. It started to show up in my world. I mean, early 20s. And I knew something was up, and I was lucky enough to spot it and get help. The first was to get clean. So alcohol was causing a little bit of problem in my world. I took a slug from a jug to ask for a raise at work. And I was like, yeah, something's wrong with that picture. Also, my friends were getting seedier. My circumstances were getting more questionable. And I was sort of going backwards than forward. And ultimately, I showed up at Barbara Walters' house at 7 a.m. one morning, rang her bell, and she's like, Susan, get in here. What's going on? And she was a great interviewer for a reason. She got it out of me that I'd been sexually harassed by my boss in the workplace the day before. And she said, well, I'm coming with you this morning to work. We're going to confront this gentleman together. Like, well, Barbara, I'll handle it. It's okay. And I did handle it. I confronted my boss that day. He said, you have everything you need. And I'm like, yeah. And he said, okay, you can go. You're fired. And I had like 2.5 months of money in the bank. I was newly sober. I was living alone. I had just extricated myself from a relationship where the man held the purse strings, I'm embarrassed to say. And I was terrified I'd go back. But I decided to open my own talent brokerage for matching celebrities to brands. And my first deal was to knock on the door of the factory and convince Andy Warhol, the modern art master, that he needed to do a Pontiac commercial that he didn't really want to do.
So you were the plug. You knew the next one, or maybe if it was the next one, they was already in the prime. You were the one to piece all these opportunities together. Was that?
I was open. I was determined. I was incredibly brave, very brave. And I just said yes before the answer was no. And stood up. And that deal with Andy Warhol actually gave me a brand within the industry. And I became known for matching celebrities with brands. And that ultimately led me into television, producing Roger Ailes, who is most known for launching Fox News Channel, had a network, and he wanted to bring celebrity talent to it. And believe me, celebrities weren't flocking to my. So we got an idea one night to grab a cameraman and go to a red carpet event and interview the celebrities that were walking the carpet and then ask them to look to camera and do a little promo for the network. And they did, because back then that was unheard of. I sort of was launching new territory. And we had all these celebrities all over the network, and Roger was so impressed. So he was going to launch Fox News Channel and said, name the show you want to work on, help me with this network. And I did that and then was led to LA for another great opportunity, convincing major household names, Jack Black, Ben Stiller, Taylor Swift, David Beckham, to be interviewed by cartoon characters for Disney. But was also led there to meet the man who would become one of my greatest gurus. And that was the man who would become my ex-husband.
Wow. I mean, man, you seem very humble with all these, you know, big moves that you're making or have made. That's very impressive. When you were called to go out to LA, was that like, okay, I'm ready for this, let's go? I was expecting this to happen. Or was that a surprise and you were like, okay, I'm up for the challenge?
Well, intuitively, I knew I wasn't gonna stay in New York for my lifetime. I just got that in the bones of my being. I sort of felt like I was crossing an invisible line and becoming a caricature of myself. And every other word began with F and was followed by U and ended in K. So very sort of rigid and getting more angry. I started, you know, training for triathlons and marathons and just was a demon. So when an acquaintance who I'd actually met on jury duty called, and she was out in LA getting ready to run a TV show, she called and said, you know, I really need you out here to bring talent to the table. I just said, yes, like it came right up from my gut. And then I hung up the phone like 10 minutes later and went, oh my God, what did I do? But that intuitive voice, like it's been there all along. I was incredibly intuitive as a kid and even telepathic. I could read thoughts of the adults around me. The trouble was when I would let it out, because oftentimes they really didn't want to hear that messaging. So that's always helped me. I mean, in that deal with Andy Warhol, he didn't care what I was saying. I was in his studio solo. It was black. It was a pin spotlight coming down on his platinum hair going seven directions. He was penciling at that table. He was completely ignoring me. And there were three pugs, you know, those little dogs with the smushed faces, like running around the studio. And that's all he cared about. They would tug on his pants leg and he'd want to grab them and lift them up like a proud papa. So finally, he just, you know, put his pencils down and dogs down. He said, "Now, wait, why should I do this?" And I said, "Because you can have the pugs in the shot with you." And that totally came listening to intuition, reading people, reading
smart.
Their energies. Yeah, trying. So same thing happened in LA. Yeah.
And what was his reaction when you said that? Did he just light up and say, "Oh, hey, great idea"?
It stopped him in his tracks. He looked at me surprised, and I just held my breath because I didn't know if it was true or not that he could actually appear in a shot with his pugs. But I was like, the ad agency exec, who was actually Donnie Deutsch, he's a big entrepreneur and an iconic host. He still says it's one of his best deals ever. I figured, you know, he really wants Andy Warhol, so he's going to have to give it up. But Andy stopped, and he looked at his pugs, and he looked at me. And I said, "Okay, I'll do it."
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's like a TED talk right there. How to, you know, be in the moment and read the room. Like, you literally did that in some.
Oh, I gotta get that going. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to swipe it from you. I've been thinking that I've got to get a TED talk together, especially since putting the book together. But I think you just hit on a good topic because it's a fun story and people really like it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest, because when I saw all the, you know, materials for the show and in the book, I didn't have a clue how in depth like you were in your career. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You did some big things. And when you look back and see, you know, your success and reflect on that, I mean, I know that has a part of your story with dealing with trauma. How did you push through to be able to, you know, pursue your dreams and pursue your goals without having that limited mindset?
I just have been blessed to be humble. And when something was going awry, I asked for help and I was willing to take help. I was 4.5 years clean. I was in the middle of a huge, two pharma companies were coming together, and my job was to deliver all the talent. And it was major names. It was major acts, mostly musical. And those contracts are really sticky. And I just got into a mess. It reminded me of being in between my parents. I think I was probably fourth grade, and my parents were screaming outside of my bedroom door. My sister slept in the top bunk. I was in the bottom, and I rolled out. I heard my mother pleading for her life, and I opened the door, and my dad had a knife above his head, you know, in his hands, and my mom was on the ground on her knees saying, "Please don't kill me." And I just screamed, "Stop it!" really loud, and then I fainted. And what happened was this deal I was doing replicated that trauma. I was in the middle of two parties trying to pull them together, and it just got all messy, and it was multiplied times five. And I broke down. I separated from self. I went into clinical depression. I was suicidal. And 4.5 years clean, I went to my first treatment center. It was a treatment center for addiction and codependency. And it was there that I learned about clinical depression. I learned about medication. I didn't want to take anything because, you know, I was sober. I didn't want to take any medication. And this 17-year-old angelic wonder who was a heroin addict said to me, "If you came to this treatment center and got blood work done and they said you needed medication to help your issue, would you take it?" And like, it was a no-brainer. So I'm just grateful that I got messages, and I'm grateful that I was able to listen to those messages and try things a different way. So many times, you know, I I want to stand in my own way. And then I realize, oh, you're standing in your own way. Get out. Get out of your own way. Get out of the trial. You don't have to do it that way. Maybe there's a different way, or maybe there's a different road for you on this one. And just be open to that road. It's really helped me professionally, and it's helped me personally.
Once again, listen on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Susan Gold, author, transformer, and coach. You can go to her website. It's real simple. It's susangold.us. And also the book that we will kind of talk about right now is Toxic Family, Transforming Childhood Trauma into Adult Freedom. When you started writing this book, what was that process like for you? Was this a opportunity for healing, or was it just you wanted to get your thoughts out to help others who might be going through the same?
I was encouraged to write a book since 2007. An Irish seer told me, you have a book to write, it's going to help a lot of people. I was like, oh, fluff, I don't want to go through all that. And then I was told back to back by two other intuitives. The third one told me I had three books to write. So I thought, okay, I better get going on this before it turns into a whole library. But honestly, I didn't think my story was that unusual, unique. Why would anyone want to listen to my story? But I just trusted that, yeah, this was the next right step. And I was a bit of a bulldog. I sat at my computer for 15 minutes a day writing, whether I had something to write about or not. It gave me the first pass of the manuscript, but I didn't really feel connected to it. And then a wise mentor said to me, you know what? Go back through that book and go through it from little Susie's point of view, that little one, that light in your heart that's been through this whole process. And that was when things really turned around. That's when I really connected to who I am as a human being, to all that I've walked through and addressed, and the beauty of it. Each person, each challenge has really been an opportunity for soul evolution. And I feel like this earthly place may not be the easiest planet in our universe, but it's what I chose nonetheless. And I think it's a great schoolroom for learning. So the book really just showed me and teased out all of the beautiful threads that have been woven into this tapestry that I'm living now and I'm able to share with other human beings. And there's no shame in it. I mean, Toxic Family is an intense title. Again, it was not my title. It was my publisher's title, but it's fitting and it's a taboo topic. And I think that we hold a lot of shame and guilt that it should have been dropped way back in our ancestry. And we just, you know, toss it from generation to generation. It's time to have a conversation and walk through it together.
And inside your book, you're giving the readers tools to use, and you have each chapter has like a sections type theme. So kind of touch on the audience. What are some of the different styles that you use inside this book to help the reader?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. That was, for me, kind of a throwaway. I thought, oh, everybody knows this, but there are very specific tools that I've learned that, you know, really, they help me stay on the planet. And they've helped me see things from a new perspective. And that is the workbook. They're pretty much somatic exercises. It was important for me to tell the story from my head and verbally, but where I really found healing and change and shifts in my levels of compassion, not just for self, but for other players as well, is when I really went into my body on a cellular level and was able to release trauma pockets. You know, I hold it. I'm a very physical person. I was an endurance athlete for years, and it's what helped numb pain. But now I've been able to release it, and that's the appendix of the book. And it's really been revelatory for more than several readers.
When you look at the opportunities you've been able to have throughout your career, and now you're writing books to help people, what is your core mission that you hope people can take away from what your efforts that you're trying to put out there in the world?
I wouldn't have been able to answer that question 3 years ago. But I can tell you now, yeah, you're right. I haven't had a very privileged career. I've worked off the beaten path almost always as an entrepreneur. I've taken huge risks. I think I was in a corporate setting twice, once at ICM, that global talent agency, right after college, and for less than a year at Fox, because I just didn't fit into that system. But what I've learned is to accept myself as who I am and to grow through it and now help others. And I do feel this is my purpose. Even though I've had so much success elsewhere, I feel like this was my life mission. I didn't pick an easy one. I think next time I'm going to read the fine print a little more closely before I come in. But, you know, I've walked through a bunch of stuff that hasn't been the brightest, but I've walked through it the best I can and with love in my heart for all the players. And I just want to share that so maybe people can get three lily pads ahead when they leap rather than jumping pad to pad like I did. But yeah, that's what this book offers.
You mentioned earlier in the show about early on you did reach out for help. Someone listening right now, maybe they be on the fence about reaching out for help. What would you say to that person on the terms in regards of how important it is to seek help when you really need it the most?
It's really humbling. I mean, I was taught don't talk, don't tell, don't feel. It was like cardinal rule. You don't go to somebody and pay them to like listen to your problems. But, you know, if you're not ready for a professional, try to find a trusted confidant, a free helpline. It's absolutely essential that you know there is help for you and that it is hard. Life is hard. Being a human being is hard. And right now, maybe one of the hardest points in our history with the ascension that I see us going through and walking through, we're having to really face old systems that are no longer working. And that includes systems within our own being. The way that we've traversed things is changing. And I think that we're getting shaken up, whether we like it or not, hanging from our toes upside down, and it's not comfortable. So it's really okay to ask for help. And if you want to talk with me, I'm like totally open to hearing your story. You can go to the site and there's a link. You can set up a free time to just speak because your story is important.
Man, you just hit it right on the head. Your story is important. And more people can realize that, I think the more the light bulb will cut on and give them that boost of encouragement to, okay, let's go for it with this. Because a lot of times hesitation can come from pain. And until you face that pain, it'll always be there. And sometimes it won't go away. But as long as you try to face it, you have a fighting chance to see the light, you know, at the end of the tunnel. So, yeah, you do, whoever's listening, you do have a story. And it does matter. It'll always matter. But you have to be the one that faces it. No one can face it for you. So, man, with that said, people can go get your book on Amazon. It's Toxic Family, Transforming Childhood Trauma into Adult Freedom. And they also visit your website at susangold.us. Before we let you go, what's something you would want to tell our audience?
Just be gentle with you. You've been through enough. Just be gentle.
Once again, to honor having our guest today, Susan Gold, you can go to her website, susangold.us. And there you can find, you know, a few pages from her new book and kind of get a teaser before you go buy on Amazon. You can also connect with her personally and also be up to date on any events that she does. Maybe she might do a TED Talk in the future. Who knows? We'll see. But once again, I want to say thanks again, Susan, for your time.
Thank you, Shamai. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for the time you're putting into this production. It takes a lot, and you're bringing great conversation forward from the heart.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.